from on high. And then the last passage that I want us to look at is in John's Gospel, chapter 21. I want us to look at verse 15, if we can. All right. Verse 15 says, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Joseph, lovest me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. And he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And he saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he had said unto him a third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, and thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Amen. Thank God for the reading of His Word, and His Word is precious unto our lives. If you're jotting this down, and if you want to make a notation here, I want you to put them in a certain order. I want you to put the Gospels, because I don't want to preach them in the order that I read them to you in. I want you to put John 21 first, and then we'll go to Mark 16, and then we'll go to Matthew 28, and then we'll finally finish up in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. John 21, Mark 16, Matthew 28, and then Luke 24. The message of the resurrected Christ. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, God, once again, and we believe your word, and we believe the power and the truth of your word, Almighty God. And Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that the anointing will rest upon us tonight, God. Father God, as we just simply preach this message, Almighty God, and Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you will touch your people and make us people of the word. Help us to be not only hearers, but doers of the word as well. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and the house said, Amen. In the great statement and conversation that Jesus had with Peter in Matthew's Gospel, I believe it's chapter 16, somewhere down in verse 18, Jesus asked the question, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And some of them said, you're John the Baptist, and you're Elijah, and the other prophets, and whatever. And then he says, who do you say that I am? And Peter stands up and says, well, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, this is true. And upon this rock, not upon Peter, but upon that truth that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build my what? I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That Hebrew word, the Hebrew meaning there, I know it was New Testament was written in Greek, but the Hebrew translation of that word simply means a community. That I will build my community. I will build my church, a family of people together. And there is a message in each one of the Gospels that I read to you. There is a message that the resurrected Christ wants us to understand. We know Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, is really what we call the Great Commission. But every single one of those passages that I read to you and that you read along with me are part of that Great Commission. And this is how we want to deal with it. And this is the message that the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the command. It wasn't a suggestion. It was a command that the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to deal with. Number one, first of all, in this command of the Great Commission to go out and to preach the gospel, we start in John's Gospel, chapter 21, and we understand that we must, in the Great Commission, we must first of all love Jesus, fall in head over heels, love with Jesus, and then love people. Amen. You've got to love Jesus, and then you've got to love people. In fact, the great command is this, that you shall what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. And the second commandment is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, those are the two greatest commandments that you can ever follow there, is to love the Lord your God and then to love your neighbor as yourself. Here is the fact of loving Jesus. Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, do you love me? Do you love me? And he asked him three times. I wonder if it was because that three times Peter had denied him. that he even knew him. But here Jesus says, do you love me, Peter? Do you really love me? Do you really care about me? Sometimes we can get so caught up in church work that we lose sight of the fact that my Christianity is not just following a bunch of rules and regulations. My Christianity is having a relationship with God. It is a love relationship. I don't look at this book as a bunch of rules and regulations. I look at it as a love letter that God wrote to me. He wrote it over so many years and with so many different writers. But the main writer was the Holy Ghost of heaven. And he wrote a love letter unto me and said that I love you. And now that Jesus is saying this to Peter, do you love me? Do you really love me? And I don't need to get caught up in all of the hustle and the bustle and the church work, and I've got to do this, and I've got to vacuum the floor, and I've got to, this is my task, and this is my job, and I'm going to die in this job, and then I'm going to do this, and I'm going to die in this position or whatever. No. If all you ever get out of your Christian faith is rules and regulations and a job and a task, you have missed the point. The point is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then watch this. There's loving Jesus, but then there's loving people. Thank God we can, if you love Jesus, you can love people. He says, Simon, son of Jonas, if you love me, you will what? You'll feed, number one, my lambs. And then you'll feed my sheep. Lambs indicates the young, and the sheep indicate the older folk. I'm not going to say old. I'm just going to say older folk. The lambs indicate the young, and the sheep indicate the older folk. In other words, I've got to fall in love with the young and the old. Amen. Young folk, I'm going to go ahead and tell us right now, we need to fall in love with the older folk. They've still got maybe some things to tell us and some things to teach us and some things to instruct us in. But older folk, you need to fall in love with the younger folk. They may not look like you and act like you and smell like you and do everything exactly the way mama and daddy and grandma did. But bless God, if they're covered by the same blood, they're in the same family. They're in the same family, and we've got to love one another, and most importantly, because we're dealing with the Great Commission, I've got to go and love the prostitute, and I've got to love the drunkard, and I've got to love the one who it seems like he's unlovable. If you, God help your soul, if you ever look at a drunkard or a drug addict or somebody and say, well, I don't want that kind in my church. God help your soul, because that's not what the Great Commission is all about. You want to look at folks that are drunkards and prostitutes and whoremongers and everything else and say, I'm not looking at them over what they are now, but if God ever got a hold of them and saved their soul, my God, what we could do for the kingdom of God. We've got to love Jesus and then love people. Number two, I'm in Mark's Gospel now. Are you with me? Mark's Gospel chapter 16. With this love, we've got to have evangelism. I want to throw out a word for you. It's a simple two-letter word, but it's one of the most powerful words that we can have. A lot of times you'll hear it when Brother Anthony gets up and he's on Mission Sunday and he's asking for money. But can I tell you, it goes deeper than just asking for money and on a Mission Sunday. And that word is go. Get out. Amen. Get out and evangelize and share the gospel. In fact, biblically, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, and he gave some apostles, and I won't go into detail of all what that is, even though it's being distorted somewhat at the idea of it, but he gave some to be apostles and prophets and pastors and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. In other words, I lay the tools in your hands, and you go out from these four walls, and you evangelize. You tell somebody about the gospel of Jesus Christ. The word says in Mark's gospel to preach. Well, I'm not a preacher. You don't have to be. All you've got to do, in fact, the literal meaning of the word means to publish, to herald, to tell somebody. Listen, it don't take a whole year, 4 years of theological degree from Holmes Bible College or going to Regent University to get a master's degree to tell somebody about the fact that Jesus Christ, I was lost in sin, but Jesus turned my life around. Let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. It don't take an education. You don't even have to graduate high school to do that. You just tell people what the Lord has done for you. What's the message? Let me tell you what the message is. Receive Christ. Repent from your sin and receive Christ. I still believe because I know what it means. In the word, the gospel. Can I tell you what the gospel means? Literally translated, it means good news. Thank God for the gospel tonight that it's good news. It's not depressing and it's not sad. Turned on the television again and listening to about the war in Iraq and how it potentially will cost over $3 trillion or so to possibly do all of the things that need to take place for this war. I don't know about anybody else, but that's depressing. It's depressing when you turn it on this morning, and I heard a little bit this morning about somebody dying from an anesthesiologist and they had some complications. That's bad news. You turn it on and you find out there's somebody else. In fact, most of you, I guarantee, this is why I don't read the paper. Most of you, I guarantee you, the first thing you do is not look at the sports section. It isn't look at the front page news. It's not looking at it. Most of you, if I know you right, and I know what my mama does a lot of times, she'll turn to the obituaries. Well, Junior, I'll tell you what Barbara Watford said. Well, Junior, so-and-so died. Won't even turn over to the weddings. Well, Junior, so-and-so died again. Did you know him? He died. Did you know her? She died. I mean, we turn over to the obituaries. It's like we're asking for punishment, if you will. I don't know why in the world we want to do that. We're some reason we're more concerned about death than we are about life. The gospel is good news. The gospel is bringing life unto us. It's the good news. And we ought to go out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You want to tell somebody, yes, you can be free. Yes, you can be free. Yes, you can be set free from the mess that you're in. Go out and share the good news. And then watch this. I'm in Matthew's gospel now. Matthew 28. Are you with me? Amen. After you have evangelized, in fact, it was said one time of a Benny Hinn crusade that, you know, it would seem like that they were doing some wonderful things over there. And I don't know what you think about Benny Hinn, but anyway, that's not beside the point. They were doing some wonderful things, and people were getting saved. But then somebody else would go back, and those same people would get saved over and over and over again. It looked good on television. Hello? It looked good on television that the millions would flock and come and hear and get saved and everything. But the problem was, and I believe this was in the Philippines, the problem was there was no discipleship. How many of you understand that if there's discipleship and there's solid biblical teaching, you can actually get people saved and they'll stay saved? Woo! You believe it or not, you can get people saved and they can stay saved. In fact, I don't know, how many of you, when you finally got saved real good, you're able to stay in it for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, bless God. When you get people, when you disciple them, you can get them saved. This is what Matthew says, or Jesus said in Matthew's gospel. He said, go therefore into all the world and teach them. Now, I know we don't like teaching. We don't like it. I'll tell you why. We want somebody to get up behind a pulpit, rant, rave, sweat, holler, snort, spit, do a dance, and everything else, and preach. We don't like teaching because it slows things down and you have to explain things. But can I tell you, that Sunday school teachers that teach Sunday school classes, that's how they get rooted and grounded in the Word. Anybody can throw, Brother Rice, anybody can throw some seed on the ground. But it takes somebody with a green thumb, they say, to take that seed that's in the ground and nurture it and take care of it and give it right amount of water. Make sure it's got the right amount of sunlight to nurture and to take care. Can I tell you that's what discipleship is nurturing and taking care of them to disciple. In fact, Ephesians says it this way, to speak the truth in love that they may grow up into all things, even the head, which is Christ Jesus. Number one, they got to speak the truth. Number two, if you're going to speak the truth, it better be in love. Let me tell you, more Christians have left churches. I'm not just talking about this church. More Christians have left churches because somebody got on a high horse of righteousness And with righteous indignation, they might have spoke the truth, or maybe even their version of the truth, but it wasn't in love. And we have lost people out of congregations because the truth was not spoken. First of all, make sure it's the truth. Paul said, if it ain't out of here, and I'm paraphrasing, But if Christ is not the one being preached, God forbid, if men or angels come to you preaching anything else than what we have preached to you about Christ, let them be accursed. Preach the truth. Make sure it's in the book. And then preach it in love. And then realize that we grow up and Christ is still the head. I gotta hurry. Lastly this, and that is to enable the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. I'm in Luke's Gospel now, chapter 24. This is what Jesus says. He says to tarry until you are endued with power from on high. In other words, stay at a place of prayer until the Holy Ghost clothes you with His presence. And here's the reason why. And please don't misunderstand me. I love the power of the Holy Ghost. I love speaking in tongues. I love praying in the Spirit. I love all that kind of stuff. I love the shouting and the dancing. And good God, if I saw one of you cutting down the aisle or jumping over pews, I mean, I might just get excited enough with you and go on with you. But can I tell you, that's not why the power of the Holy Ghost was given. I messed up somebody's theology right there. Here's what he said. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. And you shall, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive what? Power. Why? To be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, home base, Harker's Island, in Judea, Carteret County, in Samaria, North Carolina, and into the uttermost parts of the world. That's why the Holy Ghost was given. Was to be witnesses. In fact, watch this, and I'm going to close after this. And here's the thing. We get caught up in Acts chapter 2, and I love Pentecost there again, and I love the fact of the mighty rushing wind coming in, and I love the fact that the cloven tongues as a fire sat upon them, and they began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them the utterance. But there again, we focus on the noise and the language and all of that kind of other stuff. But go down and keep reading in Acts chapter 2, down in verse 41, where it says that through the mouth of Peter, who was Holy Ghost filled, 3,000 souls came to know Jesus. Jesus Christ. That's why the power of the Holy Ghost was given. Can I tell you tonight, will you stand with me please? I want to tell you tonight, the message of the resurrected Christ is number one, to love Him and to love people. Number two, it is to evangelize. We've got to go out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number three, we've got to disciple folks. Sunday school teacher, don't you get discouraged and quit teaching Sunday school classes. Don't you quit. In fact, don't you think that you're just going in, oh, I'm just going to go in and teach a little old children's class, or I'm going to go in and teach this old class or whatever, and I'm going to do my best, and then I'm not going to get over it. No, you pray for the anointing of the Holy Ghost to teach that class, because it's through the ministry of teaching. And then finally, we've got to be empowered. Jesus basically sums it up and says the way you can evangelize and the way that you can teach and the way that you can love is that you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost and be clothed with His presence. Amen. It's not to say, and I know I've said this before in the past, but it's not to say that without the Holy Ghost, you can't do any kind of ministry. Listen, if you're saved and you're not baptized with the Spirit, you can go to somebody and say, listen, I'm saved and let me tell you what Jesus Christ has done for me. That's not what, but can I tell you, when you're baptized in the Spirit, there adds a whole nother element of power. Anybody can tell of their testimony, but it adds a whole nother element of power with you when you tell. It'll make you stronger and bolder if you come. Will you come right now and let's take in this message of the resurrected Christ tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you.